The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
Now, ain't funny when you go for a walk, summit triggered by just something that might happen on that walk, and it takes you back years and years and years, and you remember stuff that you forgot, really. And this is what happened when I went on a walk, really, over the back. I'm on the Portway Hill in Rowley Regis, and the back on Wees, like Burial Park and all the bonks and everything. It's fantastic when you get up there, absolutely busting. And I decided to go on a walk one afternoon. So I come off the back, really. There's a farm halfway up, and you can come out the back on the farm. And I took sort of the back road into the bunks, really, where you walk along the back of Portway and Newbury Lane and that. And you come to what is now, I think, like a medical centre, but where the sports ground, it were Albury Sports Ground, and I played there. First thing that triggers, when I was about 14 and I were at grammar school, I played for Albury United in the Midland Combination, and that was our home pitch, and we used to go and practice there. What was his name now? Tony Upton, we're a manager, and there were some fantastic players. I mean, the Paddy Page, who I think was Ailes Owens' manager, and I think he used to play for Aston Villa, the classiest fullback I've ever seen. Colin Small, centre-back, fantastic player. There were such great, great players there. And I just stood there for a bit and looked and said, how did it change? Because I moved from there. And over the road, I think it was called the Doll's House, that was like where the committee went for somewhere to drink after the games and that. And then I turned up and I went through the alleyways and climbed up the back of the bunk. And you come to like the top of Rowley Bunk. And if you walk to the edge and look down, you can see Edale Pool there. It's now like a complex with like a travel lodge and restaurant and KFC. But there used to be a big, big house there called Edale. And I think it was owned by one of the business folk in Albury first. And then other folk come and had it. And it went into like disrepair, and we used to go over and have a look inside, and massive big cellar and everything there. And the pool was part of that. And it was the only thing that sort of wore, I don't know, taken in when whoever it is, whichever corporate business brung the land and put everything else on. And it's still there now behind the trees. And you do get folks fishing in there, whether that's legal or illegal, I don't know. But it had all these like wonderful memories and stories about, you know, when you'd walk past it and you'd think, who lives there and who lives there? And there was a bloke, actually, must have bought part on the land and bought house there. If you're right on the edge of the land next to KFC, there's a big home there. And he must have bought part on the land, but it's only the pool that's left there. And when you get up on the top, I always walk right to the edge where you can look down on Albury Station, and the view is just, takes your breath away. I mean, you know, anybody, I would tell anybody to go up there and have a look, because you can see Clent and you can see the Lickies and you can go around and you can see Wolverhampton and Sedgley and places like that. It's just wonderful. But the most beautiful sight is when you look right across to Brummagem. Now, we have a laugh and a joke, our black country folk, don't we, about Brummagem. But I tell you, I love the Brummies, really. But the view up there is just magnificent. The changes in the lights, the way it changes the skyline of Brummagem itself, when it's really, really sun, or early morning when the sun's angled, it sort of bounces off the buildings, and and they sort of shimmer, they sort of gleam, really. When it's stormy, it's all grey and foreboding. When it's snowy, it changes it. And when it's like really, really hot in the summer and it shimmers, it's just an amazing sight. And I could stand there for hours. I could stand there for hours and hours and just look at it. And I just love it. I just love that. It's probably my favourite view in the world, really. But we're going on a walk, eh? We said we've got to go down. So we've got to go down the bunk and we cross the Wolvo. And I usually go down by Shardas Lane, which is the old, now the council, don't pay it, and walk down Portway Road, going towards Albury. And they've moved the road at the bottom now, because I used to, I growed up at my Nana Poles, which I talk a lot about, which is number 8, but they shifted the road across when they knocked the houses down. I don't know why they shifted the road, or they made it wider or something, but I can guarantee you, I can stand on the spot where number 8 was, which had been the middle of the road. And the reason I can done that is because I can smell warm milk and puff wheat. And I tell that to my daughters and they go, oh, Dad, what are you going on about? But what used to happen is, not in the winter, because when it was the winter, we had sticky rib, which is like porridge, but it was real thick. You could stand your spoon up in it. But in the summer, we'd come down and Nana Paul would have the milk in like, I don't know, it'd be like a big bowl, a metal bowl, on the side on the oven. And the oven wore like dialed ovens like you see now. It was just on the side of the fireplace, one either side of the fireplace, and I had to cook off that. So I had to gauge everything that went in that oven that it cooked properly. And sometimes you'd have the mate on a spit over the middle fire and stuff like that. But I'd have the milk a-warming, and then you'd have this big bowl of puff wheat. Not sugar puffs. Sugar puffs too sickly to go all sugary. Puff wheat, no sugar at all. And then as you poured the warm milk over the puff wheat, there was this smell. I can smell it now while I'm telling you about it. I can smell it now. And it was just fantastic. So when I go down Portway Road and I'm near the bottom, near Churchbridge, because we were near to Churchbridge, and there were Traveller's Rest at the end and a shop at the end. I can smell it. I can still smell it. And I can say to anybody, walk into the middle of the road, because the houses had been in the middle of the road, and I can say, here's number 8. This is number 8 Portway Road, where I growed up for the first 5 years. And they don't believe you, but I mean, it's a gospel truth. Gospel truth. So I'd get there. And this is about a walk that brung back a memory. And when I was there and I was like stunned in smelling, I remembered the time that I met the Queen. Well, sort on. I'll tell you the story and then you'll get what I mean by I met the Queen. I were probably shelling pies or something with Nanny Murray, because most of the others were at work and my cousins were at school or something, and I'd be shelling pies or something, or stripping rhubarb, anything. Helping me Nana Murray out, me Nana Paul out, and Uncle Ted come in. Uncle Ted was the eldest. Well, he was at Ackles's then. And he come in and he said to me, Nana Paul, I'm going to take the bab to see the Queen. And I looked up and I went, oh, okay then. But I had to give him a swill and stuff like that and get him ready for you. He says, all right, then I'll go out in Fowden and I'll have a puff on my pipe. Well, he used to smoke a pipe. Most of them used to smoke fakes. They were all roll-ups. They were Woodbines, Will's Whiffs, Park Drive. But for some reason, whether it was because it was the eldest, I don't know, but he used to smoke a pipe and it used to smell beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Well, he went out in the fold and lit his pipe up. Well, I could smell it. And me Nana bought some weights and put it in this like enamel bowl. And then I got a piece on the Aidan rag from the potato sack. Now, if you remember, you used to have sacks, potatoes in big sacks, didn't you? You could have them in massive sacks. Whether you do now, it's probably paper now, but then it was like an Aidan rag. Well, Nana used to keep them because he'd use them for everything, and he'd wash them out, get rid of the potato pilings and anything that was in the bottom, wash them out, cut them into squares, and he'd use them like to scrub you. And I'd put the block of soap in there, and it was probably, I don't know what it would be, but I mean, smelt lovely. absolutely lovely. And then he'd get his hair and rag and he'd dip it in the water. And then he'd scrub your face like your skin was coming off and your cheeks would go all red and that. And then he'd wash you down and put me shirt on and my shoes and everything. And then I said, Teddy's ready now. So Uncle Ted had come back in and he'd always tap his pipe out in his hand and then he'd throw the ash in the fire. And then he'd put the pipe in his top pocket and turn it out so like the bowl of the pipe would stick out, like a periscope on a submarine. I used to think that was really funny. And he says, is everything all right then, Mum? And say, he's fine. You can take him now and look after him, he says. So he says, come on then, son, we'll go and see the Queen. Well, I were a puzzling at that point, you see, because there were no bunting up anywhere. There were no, like, pictures of the... Normally, if the Queen was a-coming, there'd be pictures there, there'd be bunting, there'd be stuff on pub windows and that, but there were none of that. And I said, I'm going to see the Queen. And he went, I'm going to see the Queen. I come yesterday. And I went, yesterday? To Albury? I come yesterday to Albury. I'm going to see you now. And your day answered back the big uns then, did you? So it was... I was sort of worried and I was a bit puzzled. But you just... went along with it, so I said, oh, all right then. He said, oh, then give me my hand, and I'll give him my hand. And there was something about old biggins' hands, whether that you felt safe. I mean, I know my Nana Paul, when I was a worried or I was a mizzling, I'd just say, come here, you have me hand, and you'd just feel safe, and everything that you were worried about just went away. It was really strange, and it was the same with old biggins, really. It was though that there was an instant protection. Anyway, we went down the ginnel and he lifted the latch on the gate and we went out and we were just walking up towards Chasebridge. Mrs. Hall was there, who used to have a suck shop in a veranda. I'd have like them big jugs of suck, Parks's suck from down Langley. Oh, the eclairs like flying saucers they was, wrapped in like brown and red and yellow. It's fantastic, absolutely busting. And I went, all right, Ted, how am you? And he went, I'm all right. And where are you going then? And she says, I'm taking the bab to see the Queen. And he went, oh, he'll enjoy that, I tell you. And I said, have you seen the Queen? And I said, oh, yeah, and I went this morning. Lovely, absolutely handsome. And I thought, well, there is handsome, eh? So they must be right, hadn't they? So I just went along with it, didn't I? And we went up on Chasebridge, stood on the cab. Now, there were that many cars then and motors. So you'd have to wait ages. I mean, now you could be there like 3/4 of an hour and them all coming down from Bechley Island or going back from Albury and you could get across. And there is a set of traffic lights now, but then you could just waltz across. So we waltz across, don't we? And the toll bridge is there on Chasebridge. And went down the toll bridge. And I went, what are we going this round for? Are we going round the road or something? Where's it stopping? Oh, it's only down here. And I thought, well, the only hotel in Albury is the Talbot. And if I at the Talbot, which wore, you know, it wore the bee's knees anyway, not for the Queen anyway, where could I stop? Because I must have all like the folks that work for her, like the wenches that were like her maids and the footmen and things like that. Well, where are they going to stop? There's nowhere along the cut. It just goes to Tap Bonken up to Langley. And I sort of followed me Uncle Ted, you know, he was holding me on, and I thought, there's something weird here. Why would the Queen be down the cut? Anyway, I was going down the cut, and old Joe was bringing some coal or something from Mercer's down in Langley. All right, Ted, how been you, mate? Because everybody knowed him. Everybody knowed the Murray family. They all worked at Ackles's, and everybody knowed him. And he says, oh, I'm all right. He says, I'm taking the bab to see the Queen. And he went, oh, we'll love that. And I said, have you ousted the Queen? He went, no, I had time yet, because I've been up and down, taking Louse to Cradley Heath, and, you know, I'm taking him up to Brummagem tomorrow. He said, well, I'll go and see her. I'll go and see her, you know, when I got time. And I said, well, how long's it going to be here? And, oh, well, I don't know, as far as I know, I was here for good. And I went, the Queen, here for good? There he is, huh? And I looked up at Uncle Ted. And he didn't answer. He just looked down and then carried on, like, you know. And I'm walking along with him. I'm going, well, is the Queen moving to Albury? Is it going to rebuild, like, Buckingham Palace down the Braids or something? I was really puzzled. I tell you, really, really puzzled. But I thought, well, If everybody says that one says that Sidda, he says he's going to see her, Uncle Ted Sidda, then it's got to be here, eh? There just must be something really special. Remember, it was like secret, like spies, and I don't want anybody to know, but I wanted to come to Albury to see folks. Maybe an old man, Philip, had gone off to play polo or something, or, you know, when he goes shooting stuff and that, and I don't want to go, so I said, well, Philip, you have to do that, and I'm going to Albury, and that's it. But I was just a bit puzzled about why I would be along the cut. Unless it was on a sightseeing tour, that's where I convinced myself I were on a sightseeing tour. And it was like, folks was saying, well, I'll show you this and I'll show you that. And he's going, oh, you know, in a posh voice, like, oh, that'd be lovely. And we could meet so-and-so and all that. And so we carried on along the cut. And I thought, well, how far up is it towards Langley? I don't know. And then we were near to Caggy Stevens. And he says, right, we'll turn in here now. And I went, we're Caggies. And he went, oh. And he says, well, why are we going in there? Because he's got the Queen with him. And I thought, well, I know everybody in Albury knows Caggy Stevens, but doesn't he know the Queen? And if he knows the Queen, well, what's going on then? And so we turned in and Caggy was there, wasn't he? He was by one of his boats. And he said, all right, Ted, how you doing? I said, oh, is it all right if the Babs is the Queen? And he says, oh, of course, no problems, round the back. And he says, what's he doing round the back? Oh, well, I got a bit clamped to death, so I've given her something to, you know, to have to eat. And then I thought, well, round the back, he's like the stables and stuff. So he's the Queen. Oh, no, I like sausage, do I? So what has done is has come to see Caggy's ossies. That's what I might have come to Albury for. And he's give her something to eat. But I wonder what he's give her. Has he give her, like, bread pudding? Has he give her groaty pud? You know, has he give her pig's trotters, squalers trotters or something? Because I'll be used to that, will I? He's used to, like, cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off. So I was thought, well, whatever it is and whatever has come, you know, I feel really pleased because it ain't like what I normally does, is it? So we walks around, gets around the corner, and there's this hoss there, chewing on they, you know. And I said, so where is it then? Is it in the stables or something? He went, now's there. There's a Queen. And there was this big hoss, dapple grey, lovely white mane. With if you have seen them, the shire ossies, they got like shoes, eh? They have hair and stuff. Standing there, and I went, "Where? Of course here." And of course, anybody that's anything to do with the Queen, he said, "There, right in front, thus, there, the grey oss." And he went, "But that ain't a Queen, Uncle Ted. That's oss, ain't it?" And he went, "Yes, it's an oss, but it's the Queen. It's handsome. Absolutely handsome. It's the most handsomest oss that Caggy has ever had, and he's called it the Queen. So you've come to see the Queen, are you?" And I went, "But I thought I was coming to see the Queen on England, Queen Elizabeth." "Well, why would you think that? Why don't you think the Queen would come to Albury without telling anybody and come to Caggy Stevens' yard?" "Because that's what I thought, because I said we was going to see the Queen. Nana said we was going to see the Queen. Mrs. Hall said we'm going to see the Queen. Don't you? Joe on the boat says we'm going to see it, did he? Or he was going to see it. And you've seen it. So I just thought, well, the big uns must know what they're on about, so we'll see the Queen, won't we?" "No, little," and he says, "the Queen is the Queen. The oss, the Caggies, it's Caggies' new oss. And is so handsome and is so regal that Caggies called her the Queen. And I thought you'd love to see the Queen." He said, "Well, I don't love her, you know. It looks lovely as Boston and as handsome and all that. But as an oss, that I the Queen, and I thought I was coming to see the Queen." "Ah, Billy," he says, "you're my right numpty. Why would you think the Queen? What about Philip? What about all of the maids? What about all of the footmen? What about the cavalry that comes with her? We was going to stop, haven't you thought of that? I said, well, I had, while I was walking down the cut, but I thought you old biggins knowed everything, so I wasn't going to question it now, was I? And he went, well, I suppose you have got that, so it is. I understand how you got a bit flummoxed about it. But look at her now. Can you see why they call her the Queen? And I went up and this hoss was magnificent. Caggy come round and I says, what don't you think of that, Bab? And he goes, well, I thought I was coming to see the Queen, our Queen, but her is the Queen, I can tell, as absolutely busting old Cag. So handsome, it's fantastic, and the way I lift her head, it's really regal. And he said, well, when I see her, and I know I was going to bring her here, I immediately thought, here's a queen. Here's a queen of all Shire Ross's Aries. And so I named her the Queen. And now everybody's coming to have a look at the Queen. So you see, it's funny, ain't it, how these stories get about. And now you think I'm doing one thing, and actually it's another. But in the end, it all works out. And I did, well, I don't tell them it's an us, but when I tell folks that I've met the Queen and where I met them, and I don't go any further, they think that I've met Queen Elizabeth. But don't tell them, because what they don't know, don't hurt them, does it? So, from going on a little walk, me saying, I ended up meeting the Queen. And that's it, ain't it? It's funny, ain't it? Our stories come about. I'll get another one next time. Just from a walk, a fantastic adventure.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places to go.